All right, let's talk NBA draft with ESPN basketball analyst Jeff Goodman here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. And Jeff, appreciate the time, and I know this is a busy time of you. And let's start off with the trade pulled off by the Celtics and the Sixers earlier this week, a swap of number one and number three. Obviously, the Sixers trade up to get Markelle Fultz. And I guess the big question is, who are the Celtics targeting here? Is it Josh Jackson or is it Jason Tatum from Duke? Who do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a great question. I talked to Danny Ainge yesterday, and he wouldn't tip me off, obviously, but I think both guys are in the equation right now. They had Tatum in yesterday, Jackson in today. They're completely different players. Tatum more of a scorer. Jackson, obviously, more of a skill, you know, a defensive-minded wing who can pass it, but not a great shooter. So those are the two guys that Danny Ainge is looking at. He basically said, listen, I don't know where it came from that we were taking Markelle Fultz, but we were never taking Markelle Fultz in the number one spot. We were going to take the guy that we're going to probably get at number three.
Yeah, it would seem to me that the Celtics and the Lakers are playing some reindeer games yet again. We saw that 30 for 30 last week about the old rivalry in the 80s. There's been some talk out in L.A. that Magic Johnson is high on Josh Jackson and not on Lonzo Ball from UCLA. What happens at number two, do you think?
You know, that's been what's out there. I'm not sure I completely believe it. At the end of the day, I still feel like this could be a complete smokescreen. They might like Josh Jackson, but I think ultimately Magic Johnson and the Lakers are going to end up taking Lonzo Ball with the number two pick.
Yeah, and they're the Phoenix Suns sitting there at four. There's a lot of talk about the Suns as well, possibly becoming a third-team facilitator and a potential Cavaliers deal with Kevin Love involved, some other things going on. What do you expect, if the Suns keep that pick, what do you expect the Suns to do it for there, Jeff?
Well, I think they're in a pretty good spot, actually. You know, there's not a lot of disparity from one to four this year in the draft. So I think whoever falls to them, they're in a good spot at four, and Sacramento even at five. I think, you know, Phoenix takes whoever's left over, you know, and it'll likely be one of either Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum. And I think Sacramento takes De'Aaron Fox as their kind of point guard they can build around for the future. So, you know, I think there's a drop-off a little bit after four to Fox, and then another significant drop-off to me after five.
ESPN basketball analyst Jeff Goodman here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. And then we have the Orlando Magic at six. I know in your latest mock draft, Jeff, and forgive me if this is not the latest one, but I think I saw you have the Magic taking Lauri Markkanen, the seven-footer out of Arizona. I got to tell you personally, the Magic history of taking non-American players in the draft has not been great. I get a little queasy about that thought. Why do you think Markkanen goes at number six to the Magic, Jeff?
Well, I think they're going to draft one of three guys, and I think it's Markkanen, Jonathan Isaac, or Malik Monk. I think they need skill. They need scorers. They need guys who can put the ball in the hoop. They've got enough athletic, non-overly skilled guys on their team. So, you know, Markkanen fits, Isaac fits, Monk fits because they can all score the ball. Now, obviously, Monk and Isaac are more, they're four men. Markkanen more of a skilled four. Isaac is long, skilled, a little bit more unproven, but I think can be the better defender. I just think Markkanen can help you right away a little bit more. He shot the ball extremely well as a freshman at Arizona this past season.
And yet the kid that intrigues me the most, I guess, in this draft is Dennis Smith Jr. out of NC State, Jeff. And the reason why is I'm out on Elfrid Payton as a starting point guard of the future. I just don't think he is the guy after 3 years. And the big question is this. Could Dennis Smith be the guy to lead this team from the point guard spot over the next decade if they take him? That is the question that very few people are able to answer right now.
Well, it's a great question because we don't know what Jeff Weltman and John Hammond are, you know, what they think of Elfrid Payton so far. And you know, they've watched from kind of afar. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Elfrid Payton certainly looks more of a really good backup, right, than a frontline guy. And Dennis Smith, you know, has loads of potential. A lot of people thought going into the year he'd be in the equation for the number one overall pick. I mean, he's got incredible athleticism. The problem for him and really was they didn't win enough games, and he was up and down with his production and effort level. But he's a high-risk, high-reward guy. If you don't think Peyton's the guy, you've certainly got a couple point guards that will probably be there. And if Fox somehow slides, I think you got to grab him at number six. But, you know, they need the problem, again, is they need guys that can score.
Yeah.
And these point guards that you're going to look at, if it's Dennis Smith or Fox, aren't really shooters. Now, they can run. They can really get up and down, and that would actually look good with some of their athleticism. But they're not great shooters.
Yeah, 25th in the league in three-point shooting last year. I know Malik Monk led the SEC in three-point shooting, and yet the knock on Monk, Jeff, is that he's, what, just 6'2", and he's likely going to play the shooting guard spot. Can Malik Monk, at the next level in the NBA, can he play the point guard position, or is that just like a platooning thing, maybe 10, 15 minutes a game or so?
Yeah, I'm not a believer that Malik Monk is fit for the point guard position. I think he's straight two, and he can really, really score the ball. That's what you want him on board for. He can put it on the floor. He can get to the basket, finish above the rim. He's streaky, but he shot it well from three last year. You know, he's got a great blend of athleticism and skill. Like you said, the one thing missing is probably a couple inches, because he's probably maybe 6'3 as a two guard, which, you know, isn't ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. ESPN basketball analyst Jeff Goodman here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. So the Magic have four picks in two rounds here, Jeff. You've got six, you got 25, you got 33, you got 35. That's a lot of rookies to have on your roster. I expect the Magic to try, at least to package picks, to try to trade up in the draft. But four picks, while it's nice to have, it also gives you a little bit of a leverage thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they won't take all four. I mean, they may use all four, but they'll probably stash one if they take all four. They'll take a foreign guy and keep him overseas for a year or two and see what he can become. But, you know, I think even in the 20s, in the mid-20s, you can get value, because you're going to see some big men that fall. There's so many bigs in that range from 10 to 25 or 30. There's going to be a lot of guys falling that, and there's not a lot of difference between them. You know, it's kind of beauty is in the eye of the beholder with some of these guys, and they've all got their warts, but, you know, they're all intriguing in their own way.
Yeah. Yeah, the NBA as a whole, they've got this drama thing down to just a science in the offseason here, Jeff. All we've been talking about since the NBA season ended has been the NBA, with Paul George wanting out in Indy and the Sixers and the Celtics trade and David Griffin out as GM in Cleveland, and talk about Jimmy Butler as well. It's been amazing. Do you expect the Cavaliers, the Eastern Conference champs, to do something here in the next few days with Kevin Love, maybe a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler? What do you expect from Cleveland, knowing that they do not have, at least right now, do not have an official general manager?
I know, that's a crazy thing, right? I mean, obviously Dan Gilbert's the owner. He can sign off on whatever he wants. But, you know, ultimately you look at it right now and you say to yourself, like, how are they going to get this done right now? Because they don't really have anybody who's even going to be involved in these trade discussions right now. It's a guy named Kobe Altman, who's, you know, the third in command, really, and David Griffin's out, and so is Trent Redden, his right-hand man. So I don't know if anything's going to get done here. If you're Cleveland, I know there's a window, but do you sacrifice Kevin Love for a rental for 1 year, potentially, of Paul George? I don't know. I think Jimmy Butler is probably the more logical option, only from the standpoint that he's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah, that would be a big deal, Kevin Love, for Paul George. Certainly a big gamble for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But maybe knowing how big that gap is between them and the Golden State Warriors, that they make a deal like that should be very, very interesting. Jeff Goodman, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the knowledge, and good luck on Thursday night. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.